Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Maybe Scottie Pippen.
Scottie wouldn't have gotten there by himself. That was being around
Michael
the
Jordan. Michael Jordan wouldn't go get there by himself either, and he didn't get there by himself.
Oh, it had to work together. I'm agreeing. Exactly.
But Kobe did. Kobe did target.
What's
Scottie
gonna do after Mike?
Market.
Nothing.
What you mean?
Nothing. We found out he was selfish as hell.
Yeah, he let the same
coming apart.
He let the same Bulls team to like what winning like three less
games. Yeah, and then his punk tail didn't want to come back in because Kukoc is on the team.
Hey, bro, y'all not gonna make Scottie Pippen
selfish
a role player.
Selfish son of a gun.
Y'all not gonna make Scottie Pippen a role player, brother. Protect the Jordan superhero narrative.
He was underpaid. I will give you that. Scottie was
y'all love making Michael Jordan
underpaid.
Like he's John Henry.
But let's not act like he would have been Scottie without Mike.
What do you mean he wouldn't have been? He would have been.
He would have never been
player,
top 50, top 75, whatever it is that he's still.
Though.
He would not have by himself.
Is that true?
Man, he was soft as hell.
Scottie Pippen.
Man, Dennis Rodman had this. No, you're not gonna tell me about the Bulls.
So you said it wasn't no soft.
I watched every day of Scottie Pippen's career. Tell you all about him. He wasn't gonna get there if Mike didn't put him.
I'm not saying he would have been like
it was the
winning
greatness.
Championships, but like he still was
not top 50, top 75.
Let me ask
period.
You a question. Like, I love having this discussion. Like, for real, Michael Jordan, like in his era when Michael Jordan, the prime Michael Jordan era, right? Michael Jordan was not only, of course, he was the best player in the league overall, but not only was he that, he was also the best wing in the NBA, right? Who was the second best wing in the NBA?
I think you've asked me this.
It was Scottie Pippen, bro. It's like if Jordan, it's like if LeBron played for Cleveland,
right?
In 4 years later, they drafted Kawhi Leonard, or they drafted Paul George or something.
So,
like, that's
so
who his teammate was.
I'll just put it to you this way. If you take Mike off those teams, that Scottie Pippen with those Bulls
teams those teams were still
gets
good,
past
though.
Detroit, I'm
no,
telling you, they never
still
do.
Good, though, bro.
But what I'm saying, they never get past Detroit, so Scottie doesn't get the finals and everything else that have helped put him into top 50
status.
He doesn't get that.
But I'm not going to act like Scottie Pippen was crazy good.
Oh, no. I think we agreed then. I'm not saying Scottie wouldn't have been great. I'm saying he's not the top 50 guy he was when that thing came out.
Well, at that
by
time,
himself.
At
that's
that time,
not happening.
I even agree with you. At that point, Scottie Pippen was put in. He got our team is looking like the best team ever boost when he got in the
1,000%.
Because at that point of his career, I thought it was kind of strange, even as a Scottie Pippen fan, to put him in that top 50 at that point. Looking back in retrospect, the 75 he would have been in. But 50 then was like adding Dame this year. Like, he probably was looked at the same way. I was a kid.
I was happy for him.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying Mike took him to his highest level.
You know, I love having the Jordan conversation. Have you seen this? We're done with the 90s stuff that's trending.
I ain't seen it yet.
It's like it's hashtag we done with the 90s, where people are like pointing out how bad. Like, bro, y'all overrated the 90s so bad. Like, it's young people watching.
I want to go back into them. The movies, the basketball, all of it.
I don't know, man. 90s basketball was not as great as we remember. When I go back and look at it, but yeah.
Dig that. He is Anthony Saint. Catch him on the Anthony Saint show on Bluff City Media. Join us every Friday. We'll come back with the rundown. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM? ESPN.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Jason, how do you lean and rock with it like a boss? Know what I'm saying? How do you do that? What's that look like for
this
you?
This is not a real question, John. Let's talk about the term. Now, you were wrong.
You
were wrong. That's what you don't want to do. You don't want to face it. You were wrong about Clemson.
I was wrong about Clemson for sure. I will say this. I will say this.
You were both wrong about North Carolina.
Going to part with you a little bit. Actually, you have no idea just how right I was about the North Carolina-Alabama game.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. I can't wait to get to it.
No, I pulled the audio.
Good.
Because one of us on the show comes on here, just kind of shoots from the hip, really doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And the other one.
So you say.
The other one was on Field of 68 After Dark on Wednesday night talking about the preview of North Carolina-Alabama. And nailed every single facet of how the game was going to play. And I want to impress you. And I want to show you just how.
You don't need to impress me anymore than you already have.
Just how accurate my preview of this game was, Brad. Let's hear it.
But the road ends here, no doubt. I mean, Grant Nelson's going to foul out in 6 minutes. I mean, it just is what it is. He's going to be able to stay on the floor. And that's what it's going to look like. So North Carolina does what Alabama does, and they do it way better, and they're better on the interior. I just don't see a single spot on the floor where Alabama is better or really even close. So I think there's real margin here. So I'm going North Carolina in a blowout. I don't think this one will be interesting at all.
You do a great job.
I mean, I'm just telling you, that was pretty spot on. You want to talk about game plan?
You even named Grand Nelson.
I did. What, am I not going to name him?
You single-handedly said this dude will play poorly.
Well, I said he's going to foul out.
That's playing poorly.
Yeah, yeah. And he did not. He did the opposite.
Did you go through the rest of the roster and I just didn't hear it? Or was Grant the one guy that caught that?
Well, at the beginning of the thing, and again, this is how it works, like the Alabama fans send that back to me. Before I went there, I said Alabama fans should be very proud the fact that they're here in this spot with this roster. It's a great job by Nate Oates, so congrats. Mm-hmm. But then I said, it's over. Grant Nelson's going to foul out in 5 minutes. And he did not do that. He had 24 and 12 and hit some big free throws.
Don't leave out the five blocks.
Five blocks. Man, and you got to say, super disappointing from Carolina. I mean, that's the one where, you know, R.J. Davis going 0 of 9?
0 of 9.
0 of 9 from three.
He pulled a 420.
Good looks, too.
420 overall.
Good looks. Like not the shots that Caleb Love was putting up.
Well, this is what I go back to when I talk to you about how hard this is, right? You think you got it all. You think you got the right formula, the right roster. You've played the right schedule. You've been tested. And you're facing an Alabama team, let's be real, doesn't have any real history at this point in the tournament. Had only been to the Elite Eight once. You've got everything going your way, and R.J. Davis, who's been an All-American all season long, can't make a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But that will happen in this tournament. That's how difficult this is to do. And so, yeah, last night I was feeling for him because he's been fantastic all year long. You know, he's down the stretch, it's him and it's Bacot. They're two leaders literally blowing it for them and having it taken away by a guy who transferred in from North Dakota State and shot less than 30% from three this year. He's taking over the game. That's how crazy this tournament is.
Yep.
That's right. It wasn't even Mark Sears.
Was not even
in the second half. I think he had four. It was Grant Nelson and the other dudes for Alabama knocking off this North Carolina team that we'd said come, you know, with the way they'd been playing coming into this tournament. You got UConn, and a lot of us thought, okay, this North Carolina team looks like maybe you'd put them second best odds, third best odds. I mean, you can't write this stuff. You just never know how it's going to play out. And so, dude, that's why, you know, maybe next time you want to have me on. Field 6-8, you can bring me on. We'll laugh together. We'll make picks.
Yeah, that was with Randolph Childress and Jarrell McNeil.
I know one thing. You crack them folks up. And if you continue to do that, you will continue to move up.
Hey,
because I don't think other hosts have that ability.
No, they don't. I mean,
exactly.
It's just the truth.
The chumminess of it, bro. You're bringing intangibles to in your tool bag that the others don't have.
Well, it's how
so I'm going to continue to lift you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's nice to hear.
And
support.
You know, the self-deprecation. That's a nice look on you. I like that.
You like the self-deprecation?
Yeah.
I do believe, like, sometimes the situation might call for it, but I think, generally speaking, you're best if you don't take the stuff too seriously. You know what I mean?
No, you can't.
Whether you're right or wrong.
In college basketball, you're going to be wrong.
100%.
50%, if not more of the time.
Absolutely.
Imagine if people diced up radio shows all day long
this
stuff.
You can't. I mean, we could do this stuff every day for 3 hours.
I mean, frankly, Arizona had no business losing to Clemson last night.
Right.
I mean,
you look at those rosters, what Arizona has been through, what this season was supposed to be about. You bring in a guy like Caleb Love.
Facts.
You know, and look what happens. Like, you cannot make this stuff up. I just thought Grant Nelson's story is just why we love this tournament. You know, that again, it doesn't matter. You can have the brands, you can have everything else. That's all that said. The one thing you can separate from all of this, I mean, how hard it is, how you just never know, is the way Hurley's got UConn playing.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks real. Two of their now largest margins of victory in the NCAA tournament in their history have come this year, including 30-point win last night over the, you know, the team they beat for the title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have no weaknesses. Literally, they are the picture of consistency, and doing that's almost impossible to do in college basketball. I mean, I guess Kelvin Sampson's kind of close,
right?
But he doesn't have the championship of last year and what UConn's got going just in terms of...
Correct.
My gosh, it just doesn't look like they have any weaknesses. With Houston, you can at least say, well, they're banged up, they're thin. You know, well, there's a little margin for error, but with this UConn team, it's guys can play bad and other ones step up. It looks like back-to-back champions, although maybe we'll be surprised like we were last night.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like
they're routing people.
They are just destroying everybody in their path, and they've been doing it for the better part of a year and a half.
Well, tell me what Illinois will look like against them. 6.5-point line already for Saturday, Elite Eight game.
It's 6.5.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at on ESPN Bet. You may have the
It's 8.5 other spots.
Good gosh.
Yeah, it opened.
Maybe it's
it opened.
Let me refresh my ESPN one. Maybe it's moved here, too. That was this morning. I'll say that.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, this UConn team is unlike anything I've ever seen in sports. Just the way that they cover every damn game. I've just never seen anything like it. I don't think there's a game that they've won.
It's gone up 2 points since this.
Yeah, dude. I don't
it's 8.5 now at ESPN Bet.
Wow.
I don't think there's a game that they have won and not covered going back to the tournament last year. They've lost and obviously not covered, but if they win, they win with margin. And I feel like with Hurley, it's like a thing. It's not about the spread. It's like we want to go out here, we want to kick ass.
Yeah, he goes off on them at halftime, even though they're winning.
Because it's crazy. All we heard about on Selection Sunday was this draw from UConn, right? Oh, what a bad draw. I can't believe they got to go through the SEC champion. They got to go through the Big 12 champion. Dude, both those teams are gone. Auburn was gone after round one. Iowa State lost last night. So you're now getting a really good Illinois team, by the way. Like a really good Illinois team. And they're still 8.5 point underdogs. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about this UConn team. I was on with one of the BetQL shows this morning, and one of the guys was like, man, you know, don't you have to take Illinois 8.5 here? I mean, the value is just insane. I said, you know, that's what you would think. I mean, just standard sort of, you know, handicapping consensus. Mm-hmm. Like, there's too many points. There's too many points for a team like Illinois that can score the way they can score. Like, if this was like an NFL game or a college football game or any other college basketball game, I'd say absolutely no questions asked. It's Illinois or nothing. But, dude, I like having my money. I enjoy it. I don't want to keep pissing it away. Because I don't know what it is with these teams that come up against UConn. They just they come to them and they just start defecating on themselves. I mean, San Diego State, okay, was winning. They were winning the game to start, and they lose by 30. I mean, I think everybody in America would have liquidated their retirement for San Diego State plus 29.5, and they would have lost. That's how sick this UConn team is.
This UConn team
is sick. And people were like, because I said it on that same show we played the clip from, it's annoying that UConn's not even going to be tested until here, and they're still 8.5 point favorites. I didn't think it'd be this long. I thought it might be 5.5, 6. I didn't think it'd be 8.5.
Well, it started it.
So, look, I don't, you know, at this point, who could come out of the bottom of that? Clemson or Alabama? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is a joke. I mean, you're saying all UConn has to do to go to the national championship game, again, is beat Alabama or Clemson? I mean, they win tomorrow. They're going through to the championship game. No questions asked. And then that's where it gets a little interesting, which is in terms of the closest matchup, would it be Purdue or Houston? I guess it'd probably be Purdue because they can match up.
You got to roll with Purdue.
You know, it would be interesting to see how Houston guarded him. But I just feel like the foul discrepancy would stack up real fast. I don't feel like Juwan Roberts and those guys would be able to stay on the floor because the way Edie's officiated.
Foul call magnet.
Yeah. At least with Klingon, you know, Edie, there's going to be a, you know, that's UConn might get a bad whistle. Purdue could get, you know, you could see that, right? I think that would probably be like a 2-point line, 3-point line. UConn-Purdue is the best chance we have of UConn not repeating. You know what's crazy, Jason? That there were points in this season where UConn was 14-1. If I was running a sports book, I would have never at any point this year priced that any worse than 8-1. I mean, I would have probably stuck it at 6-1 to start the year and just left it. You know, and if you want to bet 6-1 on a tournament winner, knock yourself out. But that's how sick they are. They should have never been 10, 11, 12, 14-1. They're just too damn good. And their coach is too focused and motivated on destroying everybody. In terms of tonight, Gonzaga, Purdue, Creighton, Tennessee, Marquette, NC State, and then Duke, Houston. Which game are you looking forward to? All of them? Some of them?
Two of the four. I've been talking about it since yesterday. NC State, Marquette, obviously. We've got the Memphis tie with Cam Jones. And then Creighton, Tennessee. I've got Tennessee in the Final Four. So, obviously, we'll be watching both very closely, back-to-back there. I think Houston handles Duke.
You know, I've told Jeff I'm on the same page with you there. I think it's going to be a different level of physicality for Duke in terms of what they'll face. And I've said Houston's playing for something bigger with the loss of Reggie Chaney and everything else. They've got the patch, everything else there, as inspired and as together as we've ever seen under a team be under Kelvin Sampson. Now, I think Purdue takes care of Gonzaga. I don't think that one's particularly close.
Yeah. I think the only one I'm not really that interested in is Gonzaga Purdue. I'm not super interested in. And
Purdue will handle them.
That's what
I think. Where it ends for Gonzaga. I'm gonna sound like you on Alabama yesterday.
Well, hopefully
maybe
you're
I'll
right.
sound stupid. We'll play it on Monday, but
yeah,
it ends here for Gonzaga.
Creighton, Tennessee obviously is gonna be a big one. 9-10. That's the last game of the night.
What number do you have on that? I'm seeing 3.5.
So it's at 3.5. Although it is shaded toward Creighton at that number. So. You know, it feels like 3 is kind of the critical mass here. Duke-Houston is definitely, I mean, that's going to be such a...
Are we expecting a high-scoring affair in Creighton, Tennessee, like we saw with Alabama-North Carolina, or will we see something different? Will Tennessee's defense be able to sort of set tone,
yeah.
maybe slow things down? What are you expecting?
I mean, clearly the market is expecting a lower-scoring game. Because,
I wonder what you expect.
I think it'll be a lower-scoring game, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a Sweet 16 game where Creighton's going to force Tennessee to make shots. They didn't do that against Texas.
With your drop coverage that you've been
that's right.
part of creating
I
the Creighton staff.
Many people don't know this. I actually invented that
I've
scheme.
Heard you talking a lot about it.
Yeah.
You seem to know an extra lot about Creighton's defense.
Well, that's just how they – that's just the way they use – big man in the middle, Kalkbrenner. They're going to just drop him and go underneath and sort of force Tennessee to make threes.
Well, we'll do it.
Well, will you?
Dalton will do it.
He did not do it against Texas. Was that just the emotion of the moment with Barnes in his former team?
We've
assistant?
Had some bad shooting games of late. We're
yeah.
due.
Yeah. Well, that is what yeah, one could argue.
This is the best offense that Barnes has had. So well, best offense and defense same time.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, listen. It's
Schofield and which guy were actually more efficient. When
I'm not sure who that favors. I mean, because I do. There is Creighton does like to get out and run. It ain't like they're just they don't necessarily. They have played in rock fights before. They don't necessarily want to do that. NC State Marquette. I'm just not that interested in. I'll be honest.
Get up out of here.
Only because
I
NC State.
Everybody's
doesn't
written
belong.
About Cam Jones. Oh, you're not interested.
Cam Jones
the
a bucket.
Cam Jones story.
But NC State's like a joke, bro. They don't. They shouldn't be here. Okay. They're like.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. That same vibe I got from Clemson, Arizona, with
yes.
you all talking about
yes.
this NC State Marquette game.
Yes.
And it's scaring me.
Well, look,
it's scaring me.
There's seven teams, right? You ever seen that meme where it's like a bunch of Army soldiers, and then there's like a clown. In the line, you know, they're about to turn a corner and go on a mission, and there's like soldier, 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 clown, soldier, soldier, soldier. That's NC State. NC State is the clown that doesn't belong on the mission.
Oh, stop.
But they're
what
here.
Was it 5 and 5 days, man? Crown them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen often. Kevin
yeah.
Keats saved himself.
He did. I think I read that he has an automatic extension clause if he wins the ACC
Ooh.
Tournament or something like that, or goes to a Sweet 16 or something like that. I think it was the ACC tournament, though. I got to go look it up. But good clause if he has that, by the way.
And back again was against the wall.
Yeah, he earned his contract was automatically extended for 2 years after winning the ACC.
He was in trouble. He was in trouble.
He was. I got to tell you, if you can negotiate that, you should always if I win something, you automatically extend my contract no matter how crappy I've been at that time.
Yeah, well, I mean, where you're at is going to matter there, whether you can get it.
Yeah.
What program you're at.
Yeah.
Some programs, of course, not going to give you that.
Well,
they look
if
at
Kevin
it as
Keats
you're supposed
is getting
to
NC State, okay, most of us can get it.
No.
Kevin Keats.
The NC State's looking at it, oh, if we get that far, yeah, we'll give it all to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're that program that's that desperate.
Just winning the ACC championship?
You're not going to get that clause if you're Cal or something like
that.
I guess
you're not supposed to ever win the ACC championship.
He's not supposed to win the ACC.
And he did.
Yeah.
Who did he beat?
Oh,
it was Carolina.
Yeah.
Maybe that should have been a foreboding.
My guy Lamar, UNC, extraordinary fan, said I needed to say that he had predicted UNC was going to lose.
Oh.
I was frustrated yesterday because he got him on one side of him and then Drew Hill on the other side.
Yes.
Well, we're going to both our teams.
Yeah, both
gonna,
fan bases.
I don't have
really
a lot
scared
of confidence.
Of the moment.
And turns out, even after I told him at halftime,
yeah.
Look, what you said, Alabama's played its best. Y'all are fine.
Yeah.
He forced me to
say on the air today that he was right about UNC losing.
Drew texted me.
And so it turns out Lamar was right. Drew, very wrong.
Yeah.
Drew texted me.
He said he wanted to be wrong, though.
He
Drew.
Said UNC can literally name their score. He said this as the game was going on. And then, like, three minutes later, they had taken the lead in the first half.
On our air yesterday. He's just about to put the whole house on it, it sounded like. And his marriage and everything else.
He did text me this
morning. He's ready to give
up. He said, I sounded so dumb on the show yesterday. In fairness, though, all of the sharp players were on UNC. They literally got the perfect storm.
Well, Baycott doesn't miss that dunk. We're winning the game.
I think that's
probably
true.
And I'm saying we as a guy that picked them in the to make the Final Four.
Yep.
So I was disappointed, particularly in Baycott's performance. RJ, it's like, what are you going to do? And he was still getting to the basket, getting to the free throw line, even on a night he couldn't shoot. Baycott, you're the biggest thing out there. Grant Nelson is blocking your shots. What are we doing?
Yes.
And that is why he'll never be anything in the NBA.
Right.
Or anywhere else, frankly. Maybe overseas.
Very true. Yes. Houston Duke tonight, that's obviously, for me, the main event. But Creighton, Tennessee will be fun. I'll have the YouTube TV multi-view going for that one. Have that going. And again, the only thing that is annoying, and I think I saw Jeffrey or heard Jeffrey make this point, you have to, like, ignore the score bug at the top. I wish there was a way to like, take that off. Because one feed's going to be faster than the other. And so you'll look up and you'll see a score has changed, and it might be a full 30 seconds ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like, again, first world problems for sure, as Jeffrey said. But it is an annoyance.
Not for me.
Yeah, you just watch the one. You just pick one and watch it, and you just go to bed.
Yeah. That's what I do. It's simple.
Do you fall asleep during these and wake up, or do you?
No, I've been locked in, bro.
Okay.
Your boy's been up.
What's been the game of the tournament?
Alabama-UNC last night.
Is that the best? That's the best one we've had so far?
Yeah.
It feels like we haven't gotten. I mean, Oregon-Creighton was actually lit.
I didn't watch that. I didn't watch that one.
That was probably the best one.
Probably. I mean, overtime game is going to trump a regulation.
Two
game.
Overtimes.
Yeah.
Not just one. Two. But it ended up but not being that competitive.
I don't care about those teams. Other than Creighton going down tonight.
Well, Creighton has a Memphian.
Has three, John.
Three Memphians. One that actually plays, but yeah.
Brock is like preferred walk-on status.
Yeah.
But he counts, bro.
Yeah, you should.
As does Jonathan and as does Mason.
Former Memphis assistant, Derek Kellogg.
What about Mason's younger brother?
Mav?
Where is he?
Mav is doing, he's at Tennessee Prep.
Oh.
So he took a prep year.
Okay.
And we'll see.
How tall is he now?
I mean, he's
6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big kid, yeah.
Figure he ain't going to end up a D1?
Yeah, he'll end up somewhere. I think he's got offers. He just wants different ones. You know? He just wants some different ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I haven't asked him in a while, but I'll check in on that and see what
his... Well, I mean, Mason could be a factor tonight.
Mason definitely could be. I mean, what Mason does really well is he gets his nose in there. If you watch Creighton play, man, he puts his nose in there and fights for those rebounds. Like, he's much better than his dad was.
Well, that's how you get on the floor and stay on the floor.
No, quite. Like, his dad was like,
if you're just shots dropping or not, man, you'd be.
Yes.
I mean, you can't be out there. We can't keep you out there if those shots aren't dropping.
His dad wanted to do the flashy stuff.
Yeah,
he wanted to get the screens.
I remember Mike get on the floor a lot.
Mike would never do that. Mike, they had to hide on defense.
Maybe LeBron might have had him getting on the floor a little bit when you're playing around that
Maybe.
Level of greatness.
Maybe.
Got on the floor a little bit.
But his game is different than his dad's. I mean, he's got a ratchet. He can shoot it, but it's different than his. Like, he's more of a dog than his dad was.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And Mav is, I would say, much flashier. Mav's game is much flashier.
Well, everybody said a few years ago, he's going to be the one.
Oh, did they say that?
Man, stop.
I thought
you didn't hear that or wasn't saying it yourself. Yeah. Everybody said, well, yes, Mason's good. Mav's going to be the one.
Well, that's what we do, right? Every loss, every next loss was going to be the best one. Yeah. You know, you just work your way down the list, you know?
That is kind of what we do.
Dedrick ended up being far and away the best.
Dedrick was the stud.
Yeah. I mean, he had
that. That man reclassed.
Yeah,
came in dominating as a freshman.
Dedrick was a beast.
He was.
Dedrick was a monster, man. Like, you just kind of wish he had a chance to.
I mean, went to Kansas and did it there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you know how real, a great college basketball
player. Dedrick had a modern bigs game, you know? Like, he had that ability to step out and shoot and, yeah, man. Dedrick had some stuff to him, no doubt about it. Is he overseas? Do we know?
Pretty sure, yeah, pretty sure he's overseas. I know he's overseas.
Yeah.
Just not exactly sure where.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, we got some really solid games tonight in the Sweet 16. And then we're whittling this thing down, man. Going to be down to 8 after tonight.
Next story.
All right, let's talk some pro days. We'll talk first about Michael Penix Jr.'s before we get around to the Memphis pro day that took place yesterday. Blake Watson was the man in that one. But Michael Penix Jr., John's future Raiders quarterback, impressed and did so, maybe surprisingly, has suffered, of course, two torn ACLs during his college career. And that's one of the reasons why many think that he'll be, the sixth quarterback taken, some believe, maybe the fifth quarterback taken, possibly. We shall see in next month's NFL draft. No, he's an absolute stud and wizard with the arm, but yesterday he turned some heads. Penix ran a 4.46, though a group of scouts clocked Penix 2 between 4.53, 4.56. Either way, that's pretty darn fast, and I think a lot faster than most thought he was going to go. He either bettered or came close to matching Keaton Slovis's 4.56 second 40 time. That's the fastest quarterback at the 2024 combine. None of the others, if I've read this correctly and understand it correctly, none of the other six potential first-round QBs ran a 40. Penix is the only, either at the pro days or the combine, none of them did it. Penix is the only quarterback to have run one, and I think wanted to put away some of the preconceived notions that he's not athletic or that he can't move because of these knees. He also notched a 36.5 vertical and a 10.6 broad jump. Those numbers are big time for leg power, everything else, lower body explosiveness. Again, these were some of the areas where he's being knocked because of the previous two surgeries. The word is, it was good enough yesterday. And again, these pro days are tailor-made and for you and everything else. And if they can give you the lower time, they will. But I think he did turn some heads yesterday, again, with the rest of it, with the rest of the package. What can you do with your legs, everything else? And perhaps he sneaks into the first round. Still think there's going to be some great back. I like somebody taking Michael Penix more than I do Bo Nix. I think you're going to get some value there with Michael Penix, especially if you're putting him in a situation where you're not starting him day one. He can watch whatever else, learn. There's those situations out there. A Raiders situation like that where you're playing behind Gardner Minshew could be a good situation for Michael Penix. I have far more trust in him, what he's done with the arm, the level that he's played at, than I do a Bo Nix. Hell, I'm probably got more than I do J.J. McCarthy, although I realize the reasons that J.J. has moved up to where he is now, likely to be a top 10 pick. All that said, I like Michael Penix Jr. I thought he proved a lot of doubters wrong yesterday. Whichever time you believe in, it was fast enough. And then back here, Blake Watson is going to end up in the NFL, whether it's as an undrafted free agent or a late-round pick, 5 through 7, take your pick. Yesterday, his big goal was to hit a 4.3 in the 40, and looks like it would, 41.5-inch vertical, 11-foot, 3-inch broad jump. Those are big. Those are great numbers.
Yeah.
And the 40 time is back and forth, but 4.3-something we're giving him, okay?
Yeah.
Good enough.
That's very good.
Is the point.
Yeah, you have a – I mean, you're absolutely
in business. He was the talk of their pro day yesterday. Now, Towski Dove was out there too. I'm not exactly sure what he was trying to accomplish, but Blake Watson –
well, he was trying to accomplish, greatness.
Towski didn't accomplish greatness here in this season.
He had a pro day in Memphis?
The captain of – yes, he was at Memphis' pro day yesterday competing along with Ken Narku and all the rest of the guys.
Well, that is more than he did in the regular season.
Again, Towski – confounded us this year because he was coming over from being a team captain at Missouri. We had penciled him in as a big contributor. He ended up not being one. We can joke about him. Blake Watson stuff is real, bro. Blake Watson going to play in the league.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Especially as what he's shown as a pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yep.
Run blocking will be key for him. But if you're putting him in a Tony Pollard-type role, and I'm talking Tony Pollard before they let Ezekiel Elliott go, Tony Pollard, who is the change of pace guy, third down back, catch it out of the backfield, that's perfect for Blake Watson. I'd almost, and I discussed it, I'd almost rather be the undrafted free agent than go 7th round because I get to pick the situation that's best for me. Hopefully, whatever it is for Blake Watson, it'll end up being a good one.
Yeah, I mean, you have a good history, right? You have a good pattern of running backs from Memphis who have been successful.
Yeah, he can he could perhaps get in the line.
I think that helps, when you can look at the history of the program and those guys have been super successful. So, yeah. I mean, running backs are – they just get churned through, unfortunately. So, you get the young ones and then you burn them out for 2 or 3 years and you move on. That's the way it goes, unfortunately.
We just know that the number was somewhere in the range of 4.3. That's what they're telling
us. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Why not? I mean,
because you believe everything Silverfield says.
Yeah, I think his word is bond, bro.
Man, stop.
His word is bond, dude. Get it with it. Okay?
I know how tight y'all are.
This man is, yeah, I mean, you act like this man is Diddy or something. Okay? Ryan Silverfield, word is bond. Get ready for an AAC title next year. Will you even celebrate when they win the AAC championship?
Oh, I absolutely will.
Or will you say they didn't win by enough? You're going to say they didn't cover.
No, I'll keep it real, whichever way.
Which is, if they win the title, there's only one way to keep it, which is congrats to the Tigers football program.
And I'll say, finally.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
Yep.
I agree with
that.
And
when Penny, now y'all want him to win a regular season AAC title, I'll say finally on that one, too.
Amen.
Just like I said it when he won, finally won an AAC tournament. I ain't gotten any of that from Ryan yet.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm telling you, that y'all, that Liberty Bowl win, boy.
I know. But
it, boy, y'all holding that one up.
It's a good one. It's a good one, bro.
It helped in terms of trajectory. It didn't prove a damn thing, okay? We got to see that defense in a full season. Although you have to like what you saw from young Jordan Hankins, the new DC, okay? New plan. Listen, I'm rooting for Tiger football. More so than I'm rooting for Showboats or some them sorry damn Raiders.
Yeah, don't.
You know, for your peace and joy.
Yep.
I want Tigers football on top. Still got my doubts.
Yeah, no, I respect that. All right, we'll come back. Rob Fisher going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the tournament, Grizz. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, Howdy Turner Fam, ESPN.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Well, this would have been relevant to Memphis, but it's not anymore, unfortunately. Or who cares, honestly, that SMU is leaving. It's not really that much of a loss for the Tigers.
We could use them.
You know, nice little bonus. But
football-wise.
But SMU is officially going to hire Andy Enfield.
It's done?
Yeah, he'll be there next week.
Thought it would be, yeah. But
okay. It'll happen next
week.
So
we're very close. It is imminent.
It's been agreed upon.
Used to use that word a lot.
Basically, in principle, and it will happen officially.
All right.
Signed next week.
So LeBron could get his Duquesne guy up in there, or are we giving it to Muss? Which one?
Duquesne.
Who wins?
Duquesne guy's taking the Duquesne job. Drew Joyce.
No. Who's LeBron's guy?
I thought you were talking about Drew Joyce.
Is that him?
He broke the news last night on Twitter.
Well, then I guess he's out of it.
Because he's taken over for the Duquesne retired coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on staff there. I think that's who you're talking about.
Drew, that's LeBron's guy? Yeah. You know, he adopted them, right?
He adopted the Duquesne Dukes or Drew Joyce?
Well, it was Duquesne. Because of the proud connection Duquesne's hire of Drew Joyce. Yes. His high school teammate.
Yeah. That's who you're talking about, right?
Yes. His high school teammate.
Yeah, that's him. So, I mean, I'm sure LeBron, you know, leaned on that, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he will not have him going to coach his son. It'll have to be Muss.
Yes. Now, have you seen any reports about Muss?
No, not yet.
I'll ask that group chat I'm in who's taking the USC job. They may tell me.
That's the exact. I mean, it makes too much sense. He's wanted out of Arkansas for a minute now, and the situation doesn't look great at all. And he's a nomad. He loves to move around. He's a West Coast guy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And Muss is still attractive. He had one, you can say. He had a bad season in Arkansas, but you can also say, okay, he's taking them on deep run.
Mm-hmm.
If you're USC, you can sell it.
No question about
former NBA head coach. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you can. It's just whether they or not he leaves. You would think he would. But I have not seen anything officially. And I'll be interested to see what my group chat. They seem to have a pulse on it. So.
Well, thanks for updating me that Drew Joyce no longer a candidate for USC because LeBron's got him the Duquesne job.
I'll be honest, the Pat Kelsey thing at Louisville is like it's giving me like this job is too big for me type of vibes. Like he's like there's a video of him out from Louisville. Like he posted the tweet of his own hire, like from the Louisville account. They're like, hey, here's a tweet. You want to post it? He posted it himself, which feels a little bit like starstruck to me. And then he's in his office, and he's like, this is my office? I'm like, bro, you've been coaching for a long time, man. Like, this isn't your first job. I mean, I get it. Like, there's an element that's like, okay, that's wholesome. But there's also an element to me that's like, this might be a little big for you if this is how you're going to be acting. Like, dude, you're supposed to be like, I've been in college for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I've gone to the tournament. I've won games. I deserve this. I belong in this spot. You don't need to be in the office saying, oh, this is my office? Man, that just gives me that gives me pause about the whole thing.
He just laid on a little thick. He's just trying to tell you how impressed he is with getting to this level and what the Louisville brand represents.
Right.
I feel what you're saying, but I don't know. I'm not. We've discussed this. I'm not big on the Kelsey hire. I think that it says a lot about, you know, where that program is falling
to. I think they should bring back Kenny Payne. What do you think?
No.
Bring back Kenny Payne. Here's who you.
Kenny was trying to get fired by
the. Stay left.
Jimmy Williams, Robert Kirby on his staff, and Aki. That staff will win. You like that?
Mm-mm.
Jason Gardner, he's available now that Arizona's gone. They're out of the tournament. That's where Arizona had two former Memphis assistants.
I see Jack. He is
Jack and
entrenched.
Jason Gardner. Yeah. So
Jason's official one of the three assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah,
worked his way back. Man, lost his head job
at Ooey Pooey.
Yep.
His lasting legacy at Memphis: not getting Trayvon Blewett. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was tough. I think actually Trayvon Blewett went on to be a damn good college player, if I'm not mistaken.
He was outstanding at Xavier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, back to Jason Gardner, man, that DUI, it derailed his career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it threatened to. I always rooted for him, though. We joke about Jason Gardner. He really didn't do much for Memphis, but
right. Good
dude, and was glad to see him at least get back into coaching and sort of, you know, try to kind of get back up off the mat after making a mistake.
Yeah, Trayvon Blewett was absolutely awesome.
Yes.
He
would have been a great one to have.
He averaged 19 a game.
You got him
year.
Because, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he was from Indy.
Yes.
And that was going to be the connection.
Yes.
That's what we were going to use Jason Gardner, his
exactly.
Indianapolis background, to
yes.
get him.
Park Tudor School is where he was
mm-hmm.
In Indianapolis.
Remember his recruitment well.
Yeah, look, everybody, you know.
He missed.
Everybody has a job to do, right? Faraji was being considered to be brought on to for Vandy to bring Matthew Morrell, right? Didn't happen. Andy Borman was brought here to Memphis to get Nasir Cunningham. Did not happen.
Again, so much changes.
It does. But
in college basketball.
I mean,
you know? Nas dropped.
He did. He ended up not being even.
He was top three, I think, when Borman was hired in terms of his class.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made a lot of sense, but. You know, is Penny even going after those guys anymore? You know, I guess technically Trey Richmond and Curtis Givens III,
yeah.
you know, could have been freshman players coming in here. But, you know, we're so locked up now on transfer portal.
Yep.
You know, you just don't, you know. What's the benefit of having these assistants that are tied to
high school
former
kids,
high school, high-level high school kids if you're
yeah.
no longer even bringing those guys in?
I agree. Now, that's a good point. I mean, now you have to have, like, I think Stansberry is a great hire to have because he can get in that portal.
We agree on Stansberry.
But,
very a strength to yes, have at yes. this time when you need this many players.
Because, like, what you really want to have, this is what you want to have, in my opinion, as an assistant. You want to have somebody who, when they walk into a gym, you know, or any, like, I know it's not like that now, but just theoretically, right? Oh, he's involved? Yeah, we can't, we don't need to get involved. Type assistant. That's Rick. If Rick's involved, he's going to deter a lot of people from even trying. You know, the other assistants on staff, it's not going to be that.
Is it still like that, though, with NIL? It used to be like that, where it mattered who walked in the room, it mattered who was watching.
Maybe not.
And everything else. Now it's more about, are you and how many schools are going to be at what I want,
maybe
this
not.
Level? Going to be willing to offer me this.
Right.
And Rick still fits that.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of the NIL guys, knowing what we can give you here, you know, we're going to budget this thing, all that. But it's just, you're right. I mean, you do. And Penny needs to, we've said it, he needs to reevaluate his staff. He needs to look and say, okay, here's what I need from these guys, right? And here's what I'm getting right now, so here's where I need to make the changes. Because it feels like, again, there are areas where you're coming up short. Who's the accountability guy on the staff? Who's the barker? Who's the bad cop, like we've put it? A lot of times, again, head coach plays good cop. one of your assistants plays bad cop,
yep.
head coach comes back, builds him up. That's a job. I'm not sure there's anyone on that staff right now. Madlock used to be that guy for Penny, and Penny could lay it all on, and you could trust it. Well, he's been missing that sense.
Right.
Because I don't get the sense that Stansberry is that kind of, you know, barker. He's got other things he's concerned with, frankly.
Yep.
And so it feels like, to me, again, more so than asking Penny to change his DNA and the kind of guy he is in terms of being able to, you know, get on these guys, hold them accountable. He talked about it, even giving them some of the free passes. Maybe that's something you can't change
right.
at this age, at this point in your career and everything else. You go get a guy that can. And so finding you that bad cop seems to me like it could do you a whole lot of good, especially if that's an area where, again, it's not one of your fortes.
Right. No, I mean, that is an interesting take on, you know, what does work and what does need to be, you know, the strategy with hiring, you know, in 2024.
It's funny because it feels like he's used sort of Jermaine now, but weirdly in a support staff role because he's been in and out. He's not one of the three assistants, but to sort of be that voice because Jermaine will flat curse you out.
Right.
You know, not saying again that, oh, Memphis needs its players need more cursing out and that's going to fix everything, but you have to. Penny said it all season long. I'm giving guys passes.
Yep.
And that leads to the kind of chemistry and dysfunction, the bad chemistry and dysfunction that you ended up with.
Yep.
So how do you clean that up? If it's not within you to be that guy that's on top of everything,
that's right.
And frankly, I tell you, that's too much
that's
for
right.
a head coach. Go find you that guy.
Yep.
You know, he's out there. And again, you used to have Madlock doing that for you. Need that guy on the staff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, in a perfect world, you find him, you know, but Tony was a rarity, you know. I mean, those guys do want to be head coaches. That's why Stansberry coming back is kind of, you know, unexpected. Because you would have thought he'd have wanted a, you know, crack at a head job.
I figured there are smaller jobs out there that would take Rick Stansberry.
Exactly.
That, you know, what he would be looking for is a big Memphis run,
right?
Then you hop off from the big Memphis run to a better, higher-level job
mm-hmm.
rather than taking one of these small fry gigs. But I'm sure he had those options to go small fry gig.
And so,
beneficial to Penny. Yeah, I mean, Rick's probably playing it the right way, you know? Again, you get Memphis into a situation where you're in a second weekend. What you can jump off to in terms of jobs might open up a little bit for Rick.
Right.
So, yeah, I think particularly in this spot, having Rick Stansberry should be a big benefit to Penny with so much work to do.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, anyway, interesting offseason. We'll see who the first balloon to pop is for Memphis. I mean, it's almost April. Memphis' season has been over for couple of weeks now.
See, they're after, or at least talking to, have contacted a few guys.
They have. I mean, you know, I saw
where Gonzaga, people are already getting them.
They are. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the thing.
And if
right?
you want to have the majority of them in here by June.
Exactly. That's the piece I'm like.
Remember, and part of not playing in NIT was let's get to work because transfer portal's opening up. Okay. Well, it's go time.
Yep.
You have to produce.
All right, we'll come back. Rob Fisher going to join us at 125. We'll talk Grizzlies NCAA tournament with him.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.